Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
So good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen and amen. If you've got a Bible here, won't you grab your Bible, open your Bible, Acts chapter number 12. If you haven't got your Bible here, grab your phone. And if you haven't got a phone here, just sit next to somebody that's real spiritual with their Bible and look in theirs. Is that all right? Won't you quickly do me a favor? Just look at your neighbor, any neighbor. Just say, neighbor. I know some of you haven't got a neighbor close to you with all the social distancing taking place. But just look at anybody across the road. Say, neighbor, it's time to get up. Some of you sounded more excited than others. Acts chapter number 12. I believe the Lord wants to mobilize, wants to move, wants to action us into something. If you know me, you will know that I love sharing a word that compels people to action. I believe that every time we open the scripture compels us to act on something. Can I say that again? I believe every time we take the scripture and we open it and we read it and we meditate on it and we eat from it, it compels us to action. The scripture changes us. It's got the power to change you. Even if you don't want it to change you, if we can open the word, dive in there, eat from it, will bring incredible change. And I believe God wants to action us and move us into change tonight. Maybe a bit of background. Acts chapter number 12, very well-known story. I've preached on this a couple of months ago at a different church. I think I've preached on it many years ago somewhere at a camp. I can't remember. But it's the story of Peter being locked up in jail. And the background to this text, maybe before we jump into it, this is about 10 years after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which we will celebrate next Sunday, by the way. Come on, is there anybody that's excited about Pentecost Sunday? Thank you, Jesus. I'm at the right church. I was just wondering for a moment. So next week, Sunday, is Pentecost Sunday. We're celebrating the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And about 10 years after the Holy Spirit was poured out and the church was mobilized into action, was birthed in an incredible way, we find this story. The church finds itself in a moment of transition. All scholars will agree that from Acts chapter number 1 to 12, it's like this specific season for the church. And from chapter 13 onwards, it's like the church moves into a different season. All of a sudden, we see the church moving out to a greater extent than what we've seen in chapters 1 to 12. I wonder if there's somebody that's prophetically with me on where we believe the church is heading. We find the church at this place where God is about to send out people right around the world because there's a message, there's a fire, there's a gospel truth that God wants to infiltrate every single area of our nation, every city, every tribe, every tongue. There's this passion, this absolute desire that God has to make the love of God known to people all around the world. And He positions His church for this moment of transition. I believe that we as a church, and I'm not just speaking about Empower Church, I'm talking about the church in global, I believe that we are about to transition into something new. Come on, is there anybody excited about a transition that is upon us? Thank you. I sense real excitement to my right. I'll move more towards my left and see what's happening there as well. I believe that God wants to move us into something. What I want to do tonight is to share some thoughts with you out of the scripture that I believe the Lord has given me as a prophetic picture for what I believe God wants to do and is busy doing in and through His church right now. So Acts chapter number 12, and I'm going to be reading from verse 5. It says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. So the church finds itself in this time of persecution. And maybe in South Africa, to an extent, we've not seen this kind of persecution where Christians are being locked up for their faith. But we've really seen a persecution of the church in a way that the church has been limited in what it can and cannot do. We have been restricted. We have been kept. We have been given numbers to work with, do's and don'ts. Do that, don't do that. Go there, don't go there. Yes, that parcel you can give to that person, that parcel you can't give to that guy. You can visit that old age home, but you can't visit that old age home. Are you with me? Come on, the Church of Jesus Christ has always been a center of hope and help. It's oasis of life and love. And all of a sudden, the church has been restricted. And we saw the same restriction here. But God was on the scene there saying, hey, it doesn't matter what kind of a restriction you want put on my church. I'm gonna force my church out into the open. And I can tell you tonight, let me tell you, we are gonna see the church being forced out into the open like we've never seen before. And I wanna remind you tonight, if I speak about the church, I'm speaking about you. I'm not just speaking about me, or the leaders of Empower, or the guys that's doing the work. I'm speaking about every single person sitting in this place tonight. God wants to force you out into the open. I'm so excited. I preached this word to myself. I responded to my own altar call. Why was the church earnestly praying for Peter? Because a couple of scriptures before that, we see James being executed. Now, if you've studied the Gospels, you'll know that Jesus had three guys that were more, I don't want to say they were closer than the rest, but though they did have specific moments with Jesus that the others didn't. Peter, James, and? So the James of the Peter, James, and John was just executed. And now Peter's locked up in prison. And the church finds itself in this place where they realize this persecution we're dealing with is real. The enemy is throwing everything at us, and they are earnestly praying for Peter. I think we've begun to underestimate at times, and I'm not saying all of us, you of course not, but there's other believers that sometimes underestimate the power of their prayer. I spoke now a bit earlier about people that God wants to call from darkness to light. Do you know that if you will make up your mind to pray for somebody, there's nothing out the pit of hell that can stop that person from being saved. Some of you don't believe me. If you would make up your mind and say, Father, I'm going to pray for my brother or my nephew or my grandpa or my colleague, and you start to press in for that brother, that nephew, that grandpa, that colleague, you will see that person being saved. I guarantee you, there's absolutely nothing out the pit of hell that can stop the Spirit of God drawing people to the Father. I'm a result of somebody that prayed for me. I have a brother, and because of my brother, I am here today. I can boldly say that, yes, I've got a mom and a dad that prayed earnestly for me, but my brother contended for my life. I have prayed for people and contended for their lives, and some of them are sitting in church tonight. And I won't take the credit for your salvation, but I can tell you that I have earnestly labored in prayer for some people. And I believe God wants to bring His church to a place where we don't just labor in prayer for the sake of labor, but believe that every time we open our mouths and we speak into darkness, we create light. You have the power. I tell you, you have the power to bring people from darkness to light. You can literally move them from darkness to light, if you will believe it. So they were praying for Peter. And the night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with two chains between two soldiers, and others stood guard at the prison gate. This is the same Peter that chopped off a guy's ear many years ago. This is the same Peter that led a revival, Acts chapter number 2. This is the same Peter that where he walked, his shadow healed people. This is the same Peter that said to the guys in the synagogue, hey, you will not be able to quiet us down. Even if you tell us not to speak in the name of Jesus, we cannot stop. We won't stop. This was the same Peter that was beaten for his faith. And then he walks out of there saying, Jesus, thank you that I am worthy to be beaten for what I believe. That's why they bound Peter with two chains, with two guards next to him, with more guards at every entrance to that prison. They knew that this was a man to be reckoned with. This was Peter. I love Peter. I mean, Peter is that kind of a guy that you would see with bold faith. And I believe that's the kind of people that God's calling in this time. Bold Peters. when you open your eyes in the morning and you open your mouth, that all hell stands ready for what is about to happen because of your life. Yeah. He was bound with two chains. As I just read through the scripture, I don't want to read something into the scripture that's not there, but I was wondering, God, what are the chains? What are the chains that's binding people today? I asked that question about myself. What are the chains that bind me currently? I'll be lying to you if I say that I'm standing here and there's absolutely nothing that hinders me, challenges me, makes me fearful at times, anxious. I'm a real person, just like you. I've got good days and bad days, and some days I feel like I'm bound by stuff. But I don't want to be bound. I don't want to be bound. One of the things that binds people, I think most of us at times, is fear. Fear. I think most people, I think every single person on the face of this earth in the last 14 months, in some day or age of their life, battled with some form of fear. Why? Because all that we've been hearing is just people dying. COVID-19, lockdown, pandemic. Do this, don't do this. And it's like there was this wave of fear that spilled across this nation and every other nation in the world. One of the chains that I believe binds people in this time is intimidation. Intimidation. The enemy intimidates people. It's like Goliath taunting David. He's not fighting you. He's not doing anything to you. He's just taunting you. Just through what you read on social media, just through what your friends tell you and your grandma said about what she heard from her doctor, and I must all speak to the right people. Just through all of that, there's this sense of intimidation that rolls over believers. You know what happens if we allow fear and intimidation to take a place in our hearts and our minds? The next thing I believe that's on the scene is doubt. We start to doubt. You know what we start to doubt? We start to doubt this the validity, the weight, the truth of Scripture. I'm just going to see if I'm speaking to the right people on my left here. I'm not sure if there's anybody that can... Thank you. Some real people to my left. Come on, we all start to doubt at times. And please, I'm not saying that you've fallen back into some heresy. I'm just saying that sometimes the scriptures that we thought we believed, we could quote them, we could stand on them, we sang about them, all of a sudden, I'm so challenged in my life because of fear and intimidation that I start to wonder, is that really true? Is God really good? Is God really able to protect me? But Jesus, why would that happen in my life? I've prayed Psalm 91 over my life, every single day of my life. Am I still speaking to the right people? All of a sudden, we start to wonder, but what if? But what if I get sick? But what if I pray and nothing happens? What if I do lose my job because of COVID-19? What if the third wave does hit us? What if we go in lockdown again? What will my business do? How will I survive? What if I lose another loved one? Doubt. And if I hang on to doubt for long enough, I roll over into unbelief. And then certain things in the scripture that I believed, I don't anymore. Some of you are thinking, geez, Pastor, you're going real deep, real heavy, real soon. But it's the reality that many people find themselves bound in this time. I'm talking about believers. They find themselves like Peter in a prison cell, bound with two chains, standing amongst guards that's keeping watch over you. And we find ourselves sometimes in these moments where we feel helpless, hopeless, powerless. And I'm here to tell you tonight that that's not God's picture of the church right now. That's not God's picture of you. Doesn't matter what you have faced. Doesn't matter if you've lost your job, a loved one, gotten sick, faced challenge and opposition. It doesn't matter how many times the enemy comes against your mind with fear and unbelief and doubt. You have the power. You have the power to get up, rise up, stand up, and be counted for. Listen to this. Suddenly there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood next to Peter. A bright light in Scripture normally gives us a symbolic picture of revelation, meaning a truth that has been revealed. You know what is the truth that's being revealed? Exactly what I've shared right now. That it doesn't matter if there's a fifth wave. It doesn't matter what the stats is. It doesn't matter what your boss says. It doesn't matter what your grandma's doctor say. The truth is that God wants you to know that you are more than an overcomer. Within you, you carry the life-giving power of Christ. Nothing is able to defeat you outside of God's will. No, your life is in His hands. Can you believe that Peter, the day before he went to sit on trial, he was just taking a nap in prison? Either he was super tired or he wasn't bothered. I choose to believe that he had faith. He's like, well, Jesus is going to do something here. And if it doesn't, that's also okay. But I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to sit up late at night. I'm not going to be struck in fear. I'm not going to be bound. And the angel of the Lord appeared to me. You know what that says to me? It says to me that whatever challenge you find yourself in, whatever you've been battling, whatever fear, intimidation, doubt, unbelief have you been struggling with, God is not looking to you to provide a way out. God is not looking for you to stand up one day and say, okay, God, now I'm going to be the strong man that you've made me to be. I'm going to break out of this prison cell now. That's not God's desire. That's not Scripture. It's nowhere it's found in Scripture that God's asking you to be a strong giant of a man and break out of stuff yourself. No, no, no. The gospel is about you saying, Jesus, in you, I can do everything. Through you, I am able to conquer everything. It's when I allow Jesus to come and take full control. Come on, and I'm not saying let's live in an airy, fairy world. I know that so many of the things that we're facing is absolutely real. It has a real impact on the lives of people. I've stood next to more grave sites in the last year and a half than what I have in any other year and a half in my ministry. We've buried more people. We've seen people die. We've seen people lost their jobs. It's real, absolutely. There's a real threat out there. But what do I submit myself to? Because I want to be like Peter and say, Jesus, you have your way through my life. You make the way. I'm not going to try and break out into something in my own strength. It's not God's design. He doesn't want you to fix your marriage in your own strength, to make your business grow in your own strength, to stop that sin in your own strength. His design has always been, just surrender to me and I'll show you how I do it. I'll show you how I can make your business prosper more than what you could ever. I'll show you how I can make your marriage flourish again. I'll show you how I can break through in your life in every single area. Am I able and am I willing to surrender? Then the angel struck him on the side and awakened him. I like this. I read some commentaries on this. Why would the angel strike Peter? Come on, has anybody ever asked that question? Is it just me that read my Bible that way? I mean, it's an angel. I would expect the guy to be like, hey, Peter. Hey, dude. But he struck him on the side. That's what the Bible says. And can I be honest with you? I haven't got a theological answer for that. I would have loved to say the Greek explanation for that is this, but there's no Greek explanation. You know what I believe? And I'll explain it with this. When I wake up in the morning, and we all woke up on time, and there's plenty of time to get the kids to school and to get me to work, then I awaken my kids like this. Come on, girls. Hey, good morning. Sleep well. Smoochy poochy. Come on, let's get up. But the morning that I'm late, and they are late, there's no time for smoochy poochies. It's like, hey, yeah, come, get up. We're going to go. We're late for school. Is any parent that can relate with me? Real parents in the house? Okay. They'll get their smoochy poochie on their way to work in school, but not there. There was like, and I believe that's the picture that we find there. So there's some weird reason why the angel struck him because he had this intent. No. He's just like, hey. We're in a hurry. How do we know that? Well, if we look at the next sentence, it says, and he said, quick, get up. Come on, look at your neighbor quickly. Just quickly. Say, neighbor, quick, get up. Come on, that, I believe, that is the word for us in this season. For the church. That there's a seriousness. Come on, quickly, get up, get up. Now is our time, like Pastor Gibbard said this morning. Now is the time to advance. Where anybody saying, no, don't advance now. The third wave is coming. No, just hold back, just hold back. Don't plant anything new. Don't do anything new. Just hold back. Now God is saying, I want you to move. Now is the time for you to plant that business. Now is the time for us to plant these churches. Now is the time for you to take ground. Can I tell you what has blessed me so over the last couple of months? I've spoken to many people that have started new businesses in COVID. And they are flourishing. They are flourishing. Many of you seated here tonight, and some of you that's listening online, are flourishing. Because in that moment where God said, quick, get up, you responded, you moved, you sowed that seed, you started that business, you planted that church, you began that ministry. Come on, is there anybody here tonight that's saying that doesn't matter where we find ourselves, if we can respond in obedience, God can do anything with our lives. I sense there's people here tonight, you might be watching online, and you feel like there's this tugging in your heart. It's like God is prompting you to do something. And you asking yourself the question, I don't know when the right time is. I believe this is your answer. The fact that your heart is being tugged, that's your answer. If God wanted you to establish that business 15 years from now, you would have tugged on your heart 15 years from now. If God wanted us to plant a church in Cape Town and PE and Durban and Kroonstad and wherever, 10 years from now, He would have spoken to us 10 years from now. But if He's saying it now, we've got to move now. We've got to move now. Quick, get up. Listen to this. This is awesome. And the chains fell off His wrist. If you read that in the original writing, it says, and when He stood up, the chains fell off His wrist. The moment He responded, the chains fell off. I want to speak to somebody that's here tonight or watching online. If you feel bound, whether fear or anxiety grips your heart, or you find yourself in this place where you started to doubt God and church and Christianity and the Bible, or you find yourself in this place of unbelief, or you find yourself in this place where you feel bound by sin. It's like you have fallen into this habit of sinfulness, whatever that might be, and you feel bound. I want to give you a prophetic word tonight. That the moment you choose to get up is when the chains will come off. Sometimes we just keep on lying there like, Jesus, help me. Jesus, set me free. But I believe that every single time I read scripture, I see faith without works means nothing. If you've got the faith that Jesus can set you free, then have the works tonight to say, Lord, I'm going to stand up. Come on, if you're trusting God to break free of some addiction, the moment you take that whatever packet of whatever, and you throw that thing in the dustbin, God responds to faith. The moment I respond and I put action to my faith, God honors my faith. The moment you sow that seed into whatever fruitful soil you trust in God for, you'll see God bring the harvest. Sometimes you say, God, if you give me 1 million, I'll sow that. No. If you want the million, sow what you've got now, and then you'll see the million. If you don't sow now, you'll never see. Come on, there's got to be faith with action. And if you want to break free and get up and move out and step into something, if you're tired of being locked up and feel like you've been oppressed and heavy, and then just get up. Just respond. And you'll see how God brings the breakthrough. Then the angel told him, listen to this, get dressed and put on your sandals. You know what that meant if we look at history? Well, I think it will be just as relevant in our day and age today. But that sentence there just means this, there's work to be done. When the angel said to him, get yourself dressed and put on your shoes, he was saying, hey, there's work to be done, let's go. If you wake up in the morning and you've got work that needs to be done, first thing you'll do is you'll put on your clothes and your sandals or your pluckies or your whatever. If you go to work in your boxer shorts, you're not going to do much. Come on, there's work to be done. And I believe that that's the word of the Lord to the church today. There's work to be done. Can I tell you, we live in a fairy world. We live in a dream world if we think that just by coming to church, God will do His business through the church. Please, I'm not trying to offend anybody, because I bless you tonight and I honor you for being here tonight. And everybody watching online, I honor you for tuning in from around the world and nations around this, from around the nation and other nations around the world. I bless you for being here. But the fact that you are here doesn't mean that the church is advancing out there. Am I still speaking to the right people? Come on, you can sing songs with us every Sunday morning and evening. You can listen to the sermon. You can clap your hands. You can give your giving. You can do whatever. But if you don't go out here and say, God, I'm ready for work. My sandals are on. I've got my clothes on. God, what are we doing today? Then the church will not be advancing. We're talking about planting churches. You've heard that this morning. Exciting venture where we find ourselves at as a church. But the church in Cape Town is not going to plant itself. We can have a 7-day fast and prayer here in the boardroom. All the pastors from Empower Church. But it's not going to magically pop up a church in Cape Town. No, we've got work to be done there. We're going to go there. We're going to labor there in God's vineyard. We're going to establish a church there, raise people up. We're going to work in God's vineyard. Come on, to see the church being advanced. For any of you that's planted a business or leads your own business or work for somebody else that's got a business, you will know that no business just does business by itself. Invoices doesn't type itself. Come on, am I speaking to the right people here? There's work to be done. And in the church today, there's work to be done. There's work to be done. And it shouldn't be something that's like, oh, what can I now do? Come on, it's got to be something that excites us. That I can come to the house of the Lord and give what He has given me to serve this local household. Pastor Gilbert said it this morning, I'll say it again. God's plan for the world is the local church. There's no other plan. There's not a backup angel army that will come in and do the job if we can't. It's not going to be done through some organization. It's not going to be done through a group of missionaries only. It's the local church. And there are thousands of local churches around this world. But if every local church becomes effective where God has placed them, that's how we will see the church advance. And how do we become effective? When every single one of you do your part. Every single one of you, if you do your part, and I do my part, we will see the church advance. It's beautiful, Marie. Love that. So awesome. And he said, now put on your coat and follow me, the angel ordered. You will know every time we see in scripture where it speaks about a coat or a mantle, it speaks about authority, it speaks about identity. When I read that, I just felt the Lord prompted me and said, Eric, it's time for the church to put on the identity that they have in Christ. It's time for the church to take up the authority. As you sit here, you are powerful in God's hands. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. If you and I would see ourselves the way God sees us, we will storm the gates of hell. We will run into this world and create absolute havoc for the enemy and his forces. I almost said something else. We would create absolute havoc. Because we would see the tremendous power that we carry. The enemy has done his utmost best from when you were born to try and convince you otherwise. You are a nobody. You are bound to fail. You are poor. You are ugly. You are not loved. You are not accepted. You will never be successful. Your business is bound to fail. You are not loved by your husband. You are not loved by your children. You will never have children. Come on, he's been lying to you your whole life. To do what? To discourage you to believe what God believes about you. Let me tell you, if the church would see itself as the bride, as the army, as the household that the Bible speaks about us, if we see ourselves that way, we will create havoc around the world. And I'm talking about a good kind of a havoc. We will break down every stronghold that the enemy has erected in the lives, minds, hearts of people, marriages, families. We will kick down every stronghold. We will advance his kingdom in a supernatural way. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. That's exactly what he wants you to do. Clothe yourself in your identity. Come on, clothe yourself in your authority. Clothe yourself in who God made you to be. You know what? I want to say this, and I want to submit this to you as the church tonight. I believe what the church needs more of in this day and age is a spirit of encouragement. That we would stop bad-mouthing one another. Stop telling one another, you can't do this and you can't do that. And wherever somebody steps out in boldness, we criticize it. Do you see that guy? Do you see how loud he sang on Sunday? He's an oak, he hasn't got a voice. And he's, everybody's around. He says, it's terrible, man. Have you seen the worship team? Oh, it's that one song that they did. Oh, hated it. Wasn't nice at all. Did you hear that guy's voice? Oh, the pastor's preaching tonight. I don't know. That scripture, no, it didn't work lekker for me. I'm serious. I can't tell you, for us, Pastor Stefan will agree with me as we move in different church circles amongst church leaders, how many people criticize one another? This ministry and that guy, and he's doing this wrong, and he's that. He's not open. He's too open. He's this. He's that. Come on, guys. Can we just start encouraging one another? Say, man, you are doing fantastic. You are doing absolutely great. God has got a plan with your life. Man, the way you smile, I love it. Smile more. Hey, come on, give me a hug. I love the hug. Doesn't matter what COVID says. Just hug me. Hold me. Just do what you want to do. Just come on, can we encourage one another? Sing louder. Preach harder. Come on, doesn't matter. Just encourage one another. That's what the church needs now. We have become our own worst enemy. I think in some church circles, the enemy's just, he's leaning back. He's just parking out on a lazy boy couch and watching us fight one another. I'm serious. We as the church should be the ones uniting, standing together, encouraging one another. Yes, you can do it. Yes, you can start that business. Yes, you can plant that church. Yes, you can start that ministry. Yes, you can win your marriage. Yes, 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 you can. So Peter left the cell, following the angel. But all the time he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. Come on, I'll just go down a whole different route. I don't even want to go into that. But how can you go through all of that? Have an angel strike you on the side. You chains fell off your wrist. You're walking through prison doors. They're opening by themselves, but you're not sure if it's busy happening. They passed the first and the second guard post and came to the iron gate leading to the city. And this opened for them all by itself. I want to start coming in for a slow landing with this. I want you to note something here. For us to understand what was happening there, we've got to understand the significance of that iron gate. That iron gate right there was one of the key points, the key locations in any city. There's a lot of things that happen at that iron gate. That's where if a governor or a king or somebody wanted to make a declaration, everybody would gather at the iron gate, and there they would make a declaration for the whole town to hear. It's what's at this iron gates where certain decisions and court orders was being made. It was there where people gathered to discuss important matters regarding the whole city. It was a key place of meeting, a key place of decision making back in the day. And as Peter walks with the angel, this gate just opens up by itself. Why does the Bible tell us that? Can I tell you why I believe the Bible tells us that? Because that is exactly what God wants to do for the church. He wants to open gates in our city that we need to possess. We need to possess them. The key places of decision making, the key places of meeting, the government offices, the educational arena, arts and culture, there where the key decisions are made in our community, in our nation, that's the places we should possess. Why is there not more businesses in the northern side of Pretoria, so influential, led by godly men and women, that just through a group of businessmen coming together and making key decisions, they can influence what happens in our community? Can you imagine that there's 5 or 10 businessmen that's absolutely crazy, passionately in love with Jesus, and they come together and they say, okay guys, what do we want to see change in the northern side of Pretoria? How can we take hands with the municipality? Come on, why don't we start cutting the grass, picking up the litter, fixing potholes? Am I still speaking to the right people? What if they had the power financially to do it? Not out of rebellion of what the government is not doing, but that they have so much decision-making power, they have possessed a gate so powerful that they themselves can transform a community. What if this school that we have becomes a benchmark for other schools in our community, and other principals and teachers come to learn from what Empower Christian Academy is doing? And by the way, we are moving to a place where I believe God is setting the school up to be a significant benchmark for how education should look like in our nation. That's the kind of things that God wants us to possess. Your business should be an iron gate leading to a city. Your office should be an iron gate leading to a city. Are you possessing the gate that God has given you? And if you don't have a gate that you possess, find one. I'm serious, find one. Find a gate, find a place where you can make a difference. This church is an iron gate in our city. It's a place of decision making. We have had government officials and people from our municipality here over the last couple of years. We have worked with them, we have supported, we have taken hands with different educational things, we have helped in medical, the medical fraternal in ways that has made a significant difference in our community. What if every church becomes that kind of a powerhouse in their community? You know what will happen? The government and everybody in this community will start going to the church for advice. How do we do that? How do we fix this? And we should possess it. Our biggest problem is that we think we are not worthy. There's somebody else out there, some big oak or some great leader or somebody that's going to do it. And I will just be in the pew listening to what he does. No, that's the lie. God wants you to be an iron gate in your city. God wants you to possess something, open up something that he can work through. God is the one that opens the gates. We need to possess it and walk through it. And are we walking through it? I want to land. I believe what the Lord has said to this church is absolutely true. It is time to advance. It is time to take ground. It is time to move forward. It is time to become a force to be reckoned with. But if I say the church, I don't want you to look at Pastor Gibbard or the leadership of this church and saying they'll be advancing. We need to advance. We need to advance. We need to advance. we believe now is the time for taking ground. Pastor Stefan's going to be sharing with you in a minute or three from now, just around our faith promise initiative for this year and what we believe God is saying and how you can partner with us. But we believe that it's our time as the church to shine. Now is the time to plant churches. Now is the time to save souls. Now is the time to see people run back to their Father. Now is the time to set the captives free. Come on, to see the sick being healed, the lepers being cleansed. Now is the time to start businesses. Now is the time to step into positions of influence. I had a good friend of me, a friend of mine the other day, said, man, he's got such a passion to see justice being done. I said, well, why haven't you signed up? Why aren't you studying? Why aren't you becoming a judge, a lawyer? Why aren't you stepping into that? Will we forever hope that somebody else will come and make the difference? Or will we be the difference that we pray for? I want to pray for people tonight that feel like in some way of your life, in some area of your life, it feels like you are bound. And I'm not just talking about some sin or some whatever. Sometimes we cringe back, we're like, no, 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 I can't have people think that I'm bound in any area of my life. I've got to be perfect here in church. Nobody's calling you to be perfect in church, please. This is a hospital for sinners. We're trying to get people healed, set free, and delivered here. We're not trying to be perfect. And if you are perfect, just come and lay hands on all of us because we need that impartation. I want to pray for people tonight that sit in this place, and if you're watching online and you feel like I am bound in an area of my life, I feel like fear has gripped my heart. Anxiety just floods my heart and I become anxious at times. Or you've become doubtful, struggle with unbelief. Maybe there's sin in your life. Maybe there's addiction. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. But if you feel like there's any area of your life where the enemy is pressing you down and wants to keep you down, but you're saying, this is my time to break free, I want you to do exactly what the angel said to Peter. Quick, get up. I mean it. If that's you, I want you to get up right now. Doesn't matter what binds you. If you're watching online, if you're in your home, if you can be anywhere, as long as you're not getting up while you're in your car, then please park your car and then get out and get up there. But if that's you, I want you to respond tonight. Because if we keep ourselves, if we don't get up, I will lie there having the revelation light shine in that cell, but never move to a city gate. I will never transition to a place of influence and breakthrough. But the moment I'm willing to step up and say, that's me, I'm getting up, God. That moment, God comes and He does a supernatural work. God, I bless you for every single person that's standing. If you're watching online and that's you, just say, that's me. I'm getting up. Oh, as I look every single one of you in the face that's standing right now, I want to say to you tonight, the enemy fears your life. The enemy fears what God is able to do through you. You can look at yourself and say, I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm too ugly, I'm too poor. God does not require any of those as a measuring stick to use your life to be an effective force in His kingdom. All He wants is a willing vessel to say, this is me, Jesus, I'm standing. And tonight I'm standing. Because I find myself in these moments, and sometimes it's just these fleeting moments where I also doubt, or I become anxious, or I think, God, but what if this or what if that? But I don't want to be bound or held back in anything in my life, and neither should you. This is our time to stand up, put on our clothes and our sandals, throw that mantle of authority and identity around us, and take a walk out of whatever prison cell you have found yourself in. So Jesus, I pray for every single person watching online. I see those names. Hannah, I'm up. Lila, I'm up. Lizelle, Joanne, Tato, Basani. And every single one in here. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. I want you to believe with me. No, I want you to experience right now how God's going to set you free. I want you to experience the liberating power of God in this moment. Spirit of the living God, Heilige Gees, I pray that in this moment, you would touch every single person standing across this auditorium right now. I command chains to break off people now in Jesus' name. Every form of condemnation, guilt, shame, every addiction, every stronghold in the minds of people, every sense of fear, intimidation, doubt, unbelief, whatever the enemy has used against people in this night, in Jesus' name, I command that to be broken now and come off them in Jesus' name. I want you to lift your hands as a sign of surrender. Holy Spirit of God, I ask that you would fill them now with such a liberating peace that in this moment they would feel that liberating power of your Spirit, Lord. Touch them in this moment right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we bless you. God, we give you honor. And God, we give you glory in this night. Pray with me. Say, thank you, Jesus, for setting me free. I want everybody to pray this now. Say, Jesus, lead me through every single gate that you have opened for me. Use my life significantly in my generation. In Jesus' name I pray. Come on, if you agree with that and if you believe that, say amen and amen. Come on, let's give Jesus a round of praise. Can we do that? Thank you. You're welcome to be seated. I want to just share a last word. And then I'm going to hand over to Pastor Stefan. I believe the Lord has spoken to me tonight about marriages. I know it doesn't really fit in with where we're going tonight in terms of our faith promise pledge right now, but I would be disobedient if I don't respond. If you are here tonight, if you're watching online, even if you'll be watching this at a later stage, and you need breakthrough in your marriage, I want to agree with you by faith right now. And if that's you, all you need to do is just there where you sit, just say, God, that's me. See, God knows our problems, but He loves it when we recognize that He's our source. So Jesus, I want to pray with every single person watching right now, every person that's in this place that needs a breakthrough in their marriage. Jesus, I pray in this moment right now, breakthrough come. Let all chains of unforgiveness, hurt, bitterness, anger fall off people right now. And may people step into a new day. Jesus, I bless the marriages of Empowered Church. I bless your marriage tonight. Every marriage in this place, those online, I bless your marriage. It will be blessed. It will absolutely prosper. It will just come alive. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, let's give Jesus a last round of praise. Worship team, thank you. You can join us.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.